And we do have a special guest on the line now, gentlemen. Johnny Gould from Sky and BBC and pretty much every major football outlet in England joins us on the line. How are you, Johnny?
Athos, Josh, Nick, in alphabetical order. Good evening to you and good morning from England.
Isn't it great to have the Premier League back, Johnny? And it was back with a bang, a number of great games, some new sides coming up, the division's looking pretty exciting. It's that new season optimism.
You know what is absolutely amazing, guys? And that is that the talent is spread around the division more than it has been for a very, very long time. So we recall Leicester City's remarkable march to the title two or three seasons ago now. I say three seasons now because, of course, it is now officially three seasons ago. But that Manchester United's manager, Jose Mourinho, and the new manager at Arsenal, Unai Emery, are a little bit on the back foot in a sense that Everton are not, by their ferocious transfer window dealings, with Spurs not having signed anybody, apart from Manchester City and Liverpool, who are between them going to fight for the title, in my opinion. It really is up for grabs everywhere.
Johnny, it's Nick here, and Chelsea, they were the team you didn't mention there, but they had a nice 3-0 win over Huddersfield. How did you see that game? And obviously a new coach with Sarri coming in and some new talent. Jorginho in particular was very impressive. But do you see them being one of the sides to really push for a position in the top four this season?
Definitely, Nick. I mean, they are, you know, the also-rounds of the division. And actually, you know, Chelsea do have that heritage in winning titles. I shouldn't really discount them. However, they've had a few shockwaves, haven't they, in their football club? They have had the effective emigration of their owner. And even though the football club is run very tightly now, and he's been in position now for the best part of 15 years, they've got, you know, a good board, and they are autonomously run, with the main man kind of sending a little note of, well, I'm throwing my towel in here and I'm going to go off and live in another country. I'm not going to redevelop the stadium. Sacking the good-looking, gorgeous and lovely Antonio Conte, who lifted the Premier League title in unlikely circumstances and the FA Cup as well, and replacing him with a not-so-sexy guy. I mean, I know I'm kind of not making much of a case for Chelsea, but they still have great players. I just think that those little things of disunity count against them with such an investment and a commitment and focus from both City and Liverpool, who I think will both finish significantly ahead of them in terms of points.
And we did see Sarri chewing on the end of a cigarette. Is there any reports of him looking to lobby to lift the smoking in stadium laws?
I do love his laissez-faire approach to modern political correctness. No, seriously, I mean, Sarri comes with an Italian reputation. They do love their Italian managers at Chelsea. They don't mind them coming from there. I don't mean that in a sort of anti-Italian way, but it isn't the most competitive of divisions, notwithstanding some of the good performances of teams in the Champions League. And maybe that's where Chelsea's fortune comes. Chelsea, Real Madrid, you think of as Champions League teams rather than La Liga teams, if you like. And maybe it's Chelsea, who have a wonderful set of players, a good squad, great talent, who can do well in Europe whilst being an also-ran, like I keep saying, behind City and Liverpool, who I think it's a toss-up between the two of them as to who will win the title this year. It's very, very exciting what's happening to Liverpool under Jurgen Klopp.
Johnny, what did you make of the ambitious promoted sides and their performances over the weekend? Wolves obviously had a pretty exciting game against Everton. Ruben Neves scoring a splendid free kick, but couldn't get it done against 10 men. And Fulham played some nice football, but undone on the counter-attack by the pacey Wilfred Zaha and a, what, 71, 72-year-old manager in Roy Hodgson.
You know what? That Fulham-Crystal Palace result was exactly the schism that exists between the Championship and the Premier League. And Crystal Palace now have that experience amongst their players of competing meaningfully in the top flight, a bit like Bournemouth. And so it wasn't that much of a surprise that they pushed aside a Fulham team who, despite playing the best football, the most exciting football in the Championship last season, are going to have to wise up a bit against technically better players. Yes, Fulham have made key investments. You think of Chambers, you think of Mitrovic having come in as well. But you know what? They're up a division, and that was a baptism of fire. For Wolves, they did very well getting a late point. I think that will really boost them. And in Nuno Espirito Santo, which sounds like a bank, as well as a church, they have a manager who can more than compete at the top flight. And as you say, Neves, what a class player. He needs to score more goals. Whether he will do at Wolves, whether he has the supply from midfield, is another matter. People are saying Wolves will do well. They haven't done well for 60 years, being frank. And they've got a long, long, long way to go. But let me say, the transfer window in January, when it reopens, will be full of wolfine action. I'm sure they'll sign more players. As for Fulham, Jokanović is very quasi-religious about the football he plays. He likes to play stylish football. The club loves it. You know, the fans have really bought into it. Whether that's enough to finish outside the bottom three, only time will tell.
Johnny, what did you make of Arsenal's performance this morning? Obviously, new manager Unai Emery comes into the club. They were defeated 2-0 against the Manchester City side, who we expect, as you said, to really be up there once again and keep flexing their muscles as one of the powerhouses, not just in English football, but world football. How did you see the Gunners this morning in terms of their performance? Obviously, a few key personnel were out, but just fell 2-0 at home, which for Arsenal fans, probably a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like they swept aside a mid-table team. And, you know, they will remember their great Arsene Wenger when Arsenal are well outside the top four, as I predict they will be this season. People are calling for patience. There's no such thing at Arsenal as patience. And although Arsene Wenger may have been in position three or four seasons too long, that doesn't mean to say that he didn't galvanize the team to overachieve each time. Listen, Arsenal have no God-willing right to be a top-four side, and they didn't look like one yesterday. And they're kind of one of the teams I had in mind as a side who, when you think of teams like Everton, when you think of teams like Southampton, when you think of sides even like Wolves, who won't finish above Arsenal this season, but there's a real spread of talent, and Arsenal are an also-ran side, and it's going to take Unai Emre a little bit of time to get to deal with what he's got there. I mean, he is a cup-winning manager. He is a European-winning manager, but this is the Premier League, and there are, I mean, just off the top of my head, four or even five teams that have a more continuous success-based model of first team quality ahead of them. And so, you know, it's a baptism of fire for Emery, a 2-0 defeat by Manchester City, and quite frankly, not a surprising one to me.
It's certainly going to be a very interesting season for Emery at the helm in his first season. We are, of course, speaking with Johnny Gould all the way from the UK. And Johnny, for the second season in a row, the season kicked off on a Friday night. How have the English public and fans taken to this? Would they like to see more Friday night games in the future?
Oh, I think it's perfect, isn't it? Just absolutely brilliant. You come home from your 50-hour work week, you sit down with a tinny, you open up your curry, and there you have Manchester United in front of you like clockwork. It's a perfect thing. I think it's great. And it was great to see Jose moan. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. That guy is literally angling to be sacked, isn't he? Mate, he's got to pick his game up, and he's got to be the great Jose, the world-beating manager of Chelsea, Porto and Inter Milan, because that little spark of Mourinho from 10 years ago is kind of missing from his Manchester United tenure. And he has moaned to Ed Woodward, the chief executive of United, for their very poor showing in the window. And he needs to remember he's got some very, very good players there, Pogba included. Great to see him be made captain. That was the right choice. And I think what he's actually trying to do is manage expectation at United, and he's doing very well. Because, guys, I do take them to finish in the top four this season. I really do.
We've been pondering the question of Mourinho at United. It seemed he was on a self-destructive streak, but you think this is all a front? He's not doing the Chelsea in the Leicester title winning season, the famous Chelsea burnout where he's sacked by Christmas.
He could easily be. He really could be. The way he is behaving is classic Mourinho, looking for the sack all the time. But believe me, what's he doing that for? If he does get sacked by Manchester United, he sacrifices his Champions League reputation. I think this is a last posting for him as a top manager. I really do. I mean, who would look to grab him afterwards, except maybe one of his old clubs like Inter, or I don't think he'll go back to Chelsea. I don't think he'd want to go back to Porto. Do you see what I mean? I mean, he might end up at a Roma or a Napoli or something like that. And I just don't think that's for him. I think he really needs to tough it out and keep winning matches, which is actually what I think he will do. He needs to look in the mirror and just shut his gob for a bit and just concentrate on the football. There's only so much we want from our stars, isn't there? I had this debate when I was on Talk Sport once with Tiger Woods, and you may know this, the superstar reporter Bob Bubka, the voice of golf with a deep American accent, and he said something very apposite to me, and I've taken it with me wherever I've gone, and this includes Jose Mourinho. All we want from him are great quotes and good management. We don't want all the hysterics. We don't want him, you know, doing the shouting at the poor female physio. We don't want that. We just want him to be the invincible great manager that either you love or hate. I don't want any more from this guy. And I, you know, as a neutral, quite enjoy the success against the odds that he delivers for his football clubs. And that shouldn't change either. Manchester United are behind City and Liverpool and indeed Chelsea. But with Mourinho in charge, he is the great equaliser. And I do take Manchester United to finish in the top four this year on the proviso that he keeps behaving himself.
Johnny, before we let you go, I must to divert your attention to the championship for a second. I know you're a beloved Aston Villa fan, but your mob beat my Wigan Athletic on the weekend 3-2. How do you see Aston Villa's season going? Obviously, a very tumultuous off-season, but got the result in the weekend in their first home game.
Now you've got me on my subject. I have just been elected as the director of the Supporters Trust of Aston Villa.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you, mate. The official mouthpiece of the football club. And I am the official cheerleader. And I cannot tell you how absolutely delighted and relieved that Mr. Sawiris from Egypt and Mr. Edens from the United States pumped in vital tens of million pounds to reignite Villa oxygen and stop us from falling through the net of the Football League Sunderland style. In fact, quite the opposite has happened. We have repelled a £30 million offer from Spurs for our best player, Jack Grealish, who represents so much more than just our best player. He is our Birmingham blood. You know what? He's our favourite son. And he's through our youth team. And also, if and when we do get promoted, it's the sort of player that we want as our club skipper to be a Premier League star in our beautiful stadium. Not only that, his great-great-grandfather won the FA Cup with Aston Villa. This is a deeply, deeply important emotional and quality player that we have retained thanks to the new investment of the football club. We have another advantage over clubs like Albion and Swansea and Stoke, teams who've just got relegated, which is a similar one to that of Fulham, who've gone the other way into the Premier League. The Championship is brutal. They don't know what they're letting themselves in for. And now Villa, in their third season in the Championship, certainly do. I have this great feeling that this is going to be a great season. I'm sorry about Wigan at the weekend.
It's all right.
But business is business.
Hey, we were gallant. We hit the lead, and I think you guys were just a little bit too strong. Like I watched a bit of the game, and I was very proud of Wigan, but Aston Villa looking like a real powerhouse this season in the Championship.
You know what? I really admire Wigan Athletic and particularly the former chairman, David Whelan. I was there that day that Wigan won the FA Cup in unlikely circumstances. I don't just say unlikely on the day against City. The fact that I remember them getting promoted into the fourth division of the Football League back in 1978. You know, this is a remarkable football club. Wigan was a rugby league town. This guy had the imagination to make it into a football town. And they're in the Premier League and they win the bloody FA Cup. I mean, it's just amazing. So you've got that in your pocket forever. Keep it warm.
I really do. Any chance I get to bring up that Wigan not just beat Man City in the FA Cup final, beat them last year in their invincible year, I'll bring it up with absolute glee. But, Johnny, look, we must thank you for joining us here on Evenings on FNR, and we'll talk to you again soon.
It's been my pleasure, guys. Have a good show.